giving praise and honor. Hallelujah. Giving praise and honor and glory to God. We thank God this evening for Blog Talk Radio. We had a little problem getting in, but we thank God for the broadcast. It is now 9:02, and I thank God for this opportunity just to lift up the name of Jesus. This is Elder Anton Seals, and I'm just going to do a real quick check to make sure, because last week we recorded for 40 minutes, and later on we found out nothing got recorded. So we're just doing a double sound check to make sure that we are getting in tonight. Praise God. Thanking God for all of you that are listening in. Created to be a king. Hallelujah. You're created to be a king. As we thank God this evening for just the opportunity to give God, I just made a sound check. And so, yes, we're online on Blog Talk Radio. And really, we just thank God. I had a wonderful opportunity last week and at Life Church, Pastor Isaac Green. I want to give a shout out to his church and to his Bible class who were in attendance last week at the Frankfurt Library. We had an opportunity to teach on created to be a king. You are chosen, a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure, and God has given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. He's given us the keys, and it says in Matthew 16:9, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And so we want to focus in on this tabernacle relationship, meaning that the tabernacle, the meeting place of God, that this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God that dwelleth in us, our inner spirit man that connects with the Spirit of God, that perfects in us a perfect work only through the blood of Christ Jesus. So tonight we're just focused in on teaching and sharing some of that. It was an awesome experience. We had it to share last week on the radio and didn't come through, but tonight we're sharing it live with you, and we just want to share, to encourage, to lift up people. Really, let me just stop and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give praise, honor, and glory right now to what you're doing in our lives. And I come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy, asking you, O God, even as I teach this lesson, to forgive me for my sinful ways, the doubts, the fears, the uncertainties, even with all that you have done, even with all your grace and mercy and all your love, that Jesus died on the cross for me and for all of us. And yet there's still that sin nature that rests in us. There's still that flesh, that carnality, that mind of man, the mind of the human man, that God gave us a will. And so tonight I ask you, O Lord, to intercede and step in for us. You are our advocate, so we ask you to show us, O Lord, how to release the power of your word in our lives and how to use the relationship of a tabernacle relationship, God, that we continue to serve you, to look forward to direction and clarity of life as we continue to go forth in the word of God, listening and learning and coming to know God for ourselves, that we have a personal relationship with God and thanking God for what he's able to do in our lives. And God, right now, just as my grandchildren are coming in and not knowing I'm on the phone right now and on the radio, talking live through the computer and the telephone, God, I just thank you for your intercession over my family. I thank you for the blood covering that brought them all home safely. And my wife, Jennifer, Minister Jennifer Seals, we give praise and honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what you're doing in our lives. We can't thank you enough, God, for what you've already done. And as we come to pray, we also come to say thank you. God bless everyone that's listening, and may the Lord fill your hearts. If you've been going through some challenges, that this word will encourage you, and know that God is our God of salvation, a God that's a healer, a deliverer, a provider, a protector. Every need that you have, God will work it out for his glory. Just trust and obey. Amen. So I want to get started by reading a couple of scriptures tonight. You are chosen a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure, given unto the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Even in 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ, meaning servants of Christ, that we are all called to be stewards, stewards of the mysteries of God. And if you go to your Bibles, you have your Bibles open, you can actually go to Genesis, I believe it is Genesis 1, around the 28th verse, and he says that I've given you dunamis power, which stewards means that you are responsible. You've been given a stewardship, the priority and the responsibility to manage everything that God has given us. But in this case, he's talking about stewards of the mysteries of God. And so in the research, it shows us as we get into this tabernacle relationship, there's a relationship understanding the gospel. He's released to us to understand the mysteries of God's word. Hallelujah. And so if you really want to understand how God calls us to be a king or a priest, I want to point you to another scripture that's found in Revelations 1 that will take you right there. And it says in Revelations 1, 5 and 6, we are created, washed, and saved to be king and priests. That's Revelations 1, 5 and 6. Thus you were created and are born, designed and destined to be a king and a priest. It's a life of transformational journey that releases a paradigm shift that will seat you in heavenly places and reveal spiritual revelations and abundant blessings. And so tonight, that's what we're studying on, is to get in this place and to open the tabernacle within us so we can get out of the outer court relationship. And the outer court is where in the old tabernacle that Moses built, the tabernacle existed, and the inner court and the holy court. There were three courts, the outer court, the inner court, and the holy court, or the holies of holies. The outer court, the inner court, or holy court, and then the holies of holies. And that was beyond the veil, the rented veil. When Jesus died, he rent the veil from top down. Hallelujah. So now we can go directly to God through Christ Jesus to hear our prayers. And so in Jeremiah 29, he says, the perfecting plans, God's plan still has a purpose, and it applies to your life and to my life. And so God says that I have a plan for you, not to harm you, not to hurt you, but to prosper you. And prosper is not all about money. This is about prospering in a relationship, to prosper you, to understand the power that he has given to you. And how do you get this power? How do you get to this relationship? All week long, since last week, I've been, and since the Lord put this message and this teaching about being a peculiar treasure. Being peculiar means that you understand that God has chosen you. You're peculiar because his word is written down inside of you, and you have grabbed hold of the keys to your treasures. The treasure meaning that chest of knowledge, that wisdom and understanding in godly ways, that God has perfected a work that's down on the inside us. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So a peculiar treasure here, I'm talking about all the great, wonderful things in Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things. Well, these things are part of the treasures of the blessings of the Lord that maketh thee rich and addeth no sorrow, that give us the power to step on the adder's head, to know that we stand on a solid rock, the rock of foundation that was once it is the cornerstone. It was the rejected Jesus Christ that we now follow as the Lord of Lords and the King of all kings. And so God is the only God that I'm talking about, the Almighty God. And so I just want to encourage, as we teach this lesson, that God's worked it all out for you. We just got to figure out and help each other tonight. That's my responsibility, to help lead us to this relationship of building. That when he created the world, he said, let there be. And so, and he first said, he told Moses in his relationship, as we get into this, then I said, let there be. So let there be what? Let there be light. Amen. In the midst of darkness, God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All power, all knowledge, all wisdom that God had, that this earth, this dark, void place, it was called Bereshith. and which means the beginning, which means the beginning of all things. And so you are the beginning. God created us and put us in place in a perfect paradise that we fell sin to our sin nature, our will to do what we want to do. Adam and Eve did. And so Adam had all power in his hand, and the woman was taken out of the man, Adam, and out of his womb, and that's why they call her woman. But he made us to be partners. He made us to respect and to love the woman of God, the people of God, and women as the, your wife, your significant other, as though she represents the church. And we get caught up in this thing talking about submission, but I want to show you something tonight about why it's so important to understand. Submission means to surrender to God first. When you can surrender to the Lord God, you won't get caught up in this word surrender, submitting to your wife or to your husband, because really it takes both the man and the wife, the husband and the wife, to be submissive to the will of God. And so then the Spirit God moved upon the face of the waters. Oh, my God. And then he goes on and he tells us and he teaches us throughout the scriptures that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace. Hallelujah. Full of truth. And that's John 1:14. And so when we think about the text and reading about the Word of God from the beginning, even to go back to Genesis 1:3-5, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God is light, brothers and sisters. God is the light. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And let me stop right there as we talk about this relationship with God, that in the midst of our lives, sometimes we come into dark experiences. We get in a place we get so depressed, or you can become sick and ill, or you become weary and we're worried about situations that you can't control. I just want to remind you that God is the light, and I don't care how dark things get in your life, the light of God that shineth, it is a spirit of the living God, and he put that spirit down on the inside of you. So when you begin to call on the name of Jesus, when you begin to call on God, help me, God, remember me, hallelujah, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So he made everything by perfect design. So you're not made by accident, you're made for a divine purpose. And so we could go on and read more about that, but I just want you to bring you to the point that God said, let us make man. I said Genesis 1:28 is actually 1:26. He made man in his likeness. That's where it starts at, in his likeness and his spirit. And so the Spirit of the living God, I made you in my image, God said. I made you to be just like me, to have that Spirit of God that I'm going to place in you, that I created you to be perfect. Hallelujah. And I sent Jesus because of the sin of mankind that has fallen away, because it was no apple that Eve ate, that she just ate from the tree, amen, of life. And she should not have been eating from the tree, but Adam allowed it, and he took a bite as well, or whatever, what fruit they were eating, it doesn't say, but it was not an apple, it said fruit. And as it goes on, and we begin to study about Moses, and Moses coming upon the mountain, and standing in the presence of God, and take off your shoes, and he says, I am that I am. And so he said, the Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak to you. So trust whatever I say. And read it one more time. Exodus 19:9. The Lord said, Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak with you. So trust you ever after. So when you're in a relationship with God, when you've sold out to the will of God, and you know that God has placed this tent, this tabernacle, his word that dwelleth down on the inside of you, 33:7-11, Exodus 33:7-11. Now, Moses used to take a tent. See, Moses had a tent where the Lord would meet him. And as Moses went into the tent, that now we call it today, hallelujah. Just let's break this down for you. Today, that tent is your tabernacle of prayer. It may be your closet. It may be your car. It may be at your desk. But there's a place that you ought to have. It may be on your bedroom. It may be wherever that place is that you get a moment to just be quiet and turn it over to the Lord. That's that tent of meeting. That's what the tabernacle is. It's a meeting place that no longer just belongs to Moses. It belongs to you through Jesus Christ. And as Moses, as you, you don't see a pillar of cloud that comes up. But I'm reading the scripture, verse 9, and Moses went to the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. But I do want to reinforce something. When the Holy Spirit begins to transform you, be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. When that Spirit begins to renew in you, when that Spirit begins to turn you from and take you out of that miry clay and begin to give you a whole different perspective of life, where the righteousness of God and the truth of His Word that becomes your moral compass, becomes the very essence of who God created you to be, that you can tap into His Word because you have a sincere relationship. Because the Bible also teaches us that I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek after me. And so I'm asking us, as we go into this lesson, to meditate and to take a few notes and write some things down, because the Lord said, I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek and hearken after me. And with sincerity in heart, I don't want you to just be going through the motions. I want us to come to this place, and then I want to talk to you about how you come into the presence of God so that you understand the relationship that God has caused us to have. And even to the place that the first thing that we need to understand is that when God created and gave us the keys to the kingdom, and when this is all the way into the New Testament, He's telling us again to tie in the New and the Old Testament, keys to the kingdom. And when He had demanded, this is Luke 17, 20 and 21, Luke 17, 20, 21. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, or to know here, or to know there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. Well, what do you mean, Elder Seals? The kingdom of God, Brother Seals, is in you. What that's telling us is that God put His Spirit in us. And so if His Spirit is in us and we are made in His image, the kingdom of God is within us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom within you allows you to understand that you are created according to Revelations 1, 5, and 6, and washed by the blood of Jesus to take away all your sins when you confess His name. That you believe and accept and confess with your mouth and sincerity in your heart that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that He is the Jesus Christ is arose from the dead on the third day, sitteth at the right hand of God Almighty. He has taken the keys from Satan and has bound him, is going to come back someday, and He's going to take over in heaven. The New Jerusalem is going to, Revelation 21, 21, Revelation says that the New Jerusalem is going to come. Now heaven is going to come down to us. Hallelujah. That's going to be a new kingdom. But before you can get there, is how are we living this life that we live? How do we live? And so when God gave Moses the instructions, the first thing He told Moses is, Moses, take off your shoes because you are standing on holy ground. Brothers and sisters, what I want you to hear is in the teaching of God's Word that this Bible did not get written by man's inspiration. It is written by the inspiration and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and how God used His knowledge to put that Word down on the inside of us, that we could hide this Word in our hearts. Amen. And that we keep it in our hearts. And so He created the tribes of Israel. He created the camp of Israel as the chosen people. And we know the story as it goes on that the children of Israel were disobedient. But in the New Testament, we know that Jesus comes. Hallelujah. And the disciples are sent. Now, Paul is sent to minister, to teach, to lead, to guide, and to direct, and to help people discover the power to baptize in the name of Jesus. He was here to create for them, the Gentiles, those that weren't Jews, but so that God doesn't see persons and religiosities and personalities. God just sees the oneness of who you are in his image and his likeness, and he's going to hold you to that standard. But understanding that the camp that was made, even back all those centuries ago, was made in the shape of the cross, was for the foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus Christ. So Moses was getting instructions and taking off his shoes because it's holy ground. I want you to understand that everything that I'm sharing with you, God created to be perfect. He created as a perfect plan. That's why your sacrifice is important, but your obedience is better than sacrifice. And so as we study the word, we have to understand that we have this outer court relationship. The outer court relationship deals specifically with mankind and his willingness to do man's own will. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. That's just humanity. That's the way God gave us a will. Your outer body, your physical body, is a natural outer court. It represents the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. This is the natural mind. It is the court where you have to confess and believe and receive Christ in your natural mind, but it has to get down in your heart. It has to get down in the spirit of who you are. And you cannot enter into God's holy presence unless there's sincerity in your heart. So when you, sometimes people say, well, everybody get up and shout and dance, but God's not interested in all that shouting, all that. Yes, he wants us to praise him. Yes, he wants us to pray to him. Yes, he wants us to worship and adore him and him only. Yes, he wants you to bring your tithes and your offerings to the storehouse that there may be meat for those to eat. And yes, he will bless you and increase, but the widow's mite. I heard someone teaching the other day and talking about coming into the presence of God and giving their tithes, and the less you give, the smaller your blessing is. Well, if you don't have a lot to give, let me just remind you of the widow's mite. And the widow's mite was given, and was given with such sincerity that the Lord said to her in front of all these rich people who were giving their monies and their wealth, God said, this woman has given her all. So I want to encourage you, if you just give a dollar because that's all you got with sincerity in your heart, then you don't just give your money to the church and you can't pay your note, because the church can't pick up your house note. It's not going to pick up your car note. So let's just make that real about our relationship is not with the physical church. It's with the spiritual church that's in you, the spiritual relationship, the body of Christ. We represent the body of Christ. We represent the body of Christ, meaning the church, not the physical building, but we represent the presence of God that's in us. Hallelujah. And so that's why sometimes you have to understand this outer court relationship, because the lust of the eye and the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, those sins will keep you away from what you were created to be, because you can live and be wealthy and have all the things, but it's really more important to be concerned, where is my soul going? When this body decays, when God calls me home, when God calls you home, where are you going? Where will your resting place be? Hallelujah. And so that's why I want to stress to you the importance of the sacrifice that you give. Do it out of sincerity of heart and make sure that your obedience to the will of God and the way you live your life is more important than your sacrifice. Because if you go and give your sacrifice and you're not living this word of God, you're not building a relationship by talking and praying and asking God forgiveness and repenting, everything, then you're going to miss the mark. But let me get on, because I don't want to condemn anybody. I want to encourage you. So that's the outer court. So then there's the holy court. The holy court represents where your soul, the center of your heart, this is where the will of God, man, the desires, our emotion, the lust of that flesh I'm talking about, this is where it's really centered. And sometimes we call it our hearts in the natural sense. But it's the emotions that are transformed. But God wants to transform us into a new creature and renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. So we're talking about getting from an outer court relationship where the high priest, hallelujah, were the only ones that were allowed, and the priests were allowed into the holy court or the inner court. They weren't allowed, the children of Israel, just like us. You cannot come into the presence of God with ugliness. All, if you're saved and you're sanctified, I'm not talking about people just now accepting Jesus Christ. The Lord knows exactly where you are. Let me help people understand. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. There may be some people listening to me who don't know our Lord. He says, come as you are. The Lord, the pastors, the teachers, the disciples of the church, or the deacons of the church, or the ministers, the priests, the shepherds of the church, or the lay shepherds, whatever you want to call them, the deacons, the bishops, the apostles, all of them should have a heart to receive that sin-natured being, whoever that human being is, whatever state of mind that they're in, physically, whatever's going on, if they're coming to give their life to Christ. Our responsibilities as ministers is to accept them into the house of God if they confess believing that Jesus died, hallelujah, on the cross and arose on the third day. They believe and confess it, and they speak it and believe it with their own mouths. But they got to believe it in the heart. It's not enough just to say this. So that's the outer court, and that's the holy court, which represents your soul, the center of your inner essence of who you are. It's the center of the heart and mind and the will and emotions that have been transformed. And then there's the Spirit of God and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That we get into this place where it's a Christ-centered attitude, a behavior becomes more Christ-like. It's really where we break through into a new relationship with Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that you've gone beyond the veil and God has ushered you in every Sunday or every time you pray to God's holy presence. That's not scripturally true, but God does talk to us through the Spirit, and he says that the sheep will know my voice. And so as we talk about this inner court, outer court, the Old Testament, and this is where I really, really want people to hear this, and I encourage you to just think about this for a minute. And in Exodus, there was in Exodus 25, he tells them to bring jewels and gold and every kind of artifact. He tells them to bring everything for the making of the tabernacle. He did all of that for a purpose, and he wanted to build. Jesus, God knew exactly what he was telling Moses to do. And the same perfecting plan, the same perfect instructions that God gave to Moses, God has placed into you. Jeremiah 29:11, I say it again, that God has a plan for you, a plan not to harm you. Sometimes he'll chasten you, meaning he will give you instructions. Sometimes those instructions may cause you to be have uncomfort. Those instructions could cause you to go through some painful experiences in life that he allows us to go through, not because you've necessarily done anything wrong, but it draws us closer. Every trial, every test that I have gone through, that I truly believe the Lord has brought me closer and closer and closer to the more that I need Jesus. Believe me, that it was a fight tonight. And I'm going to be honest and transparent tonight. There was a fight, a physical, emotional, spiritual battle going on in my mind, in my spirit, in my body, where I was wondering, should I be on this radio tonight, on this Blog Talk Radio, AJS Ministry, or should I just sit down and just be still? And I made a commitment, and someone sold into this ministry. And I said, how dare you ask God for something, and then you not follow up? But I want you to know, as much as Bible study as I do and teaching that I love to do and don't get a chance to do enough of it, just understand that just because you have this relationship with God doesn't mean the devil is not going to be busy trying to stop you. Anytime
You have a relationship with God, and you're trying to do what's right. There are going to be situations that come up in your life that will make you think like it's not worth it. And I'm here to tell you, don't forsake the will of God in your life. Don't turn away. If you don't know God, he's going to say, I don't know you. If your name is not written in his Lamb book, then you won't be sitting around heaven. How do you praise God in heaven when you can't praise him here and you can't confess the name of Jesus here? And when the cloud was taken up from over the time, the children went onward all their journeys. When you go through a cloudy situation, when you're going through a dark situation, I want you to think about how the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, and all that they had to go through, and God continuously showed them the way. And what he did was he told Moses, I want you to build this tabernacle, Moses. I'm not going to talk about how it was made and what all the parts represent today except for three pieces, the outer court. And I want to talk about the altar or the brazen altar where the sacrifice was laid, which represents where Jesus, the foreshadowing of Jesus, on which he comes as the sacrificial lamb. They would bring their offerings to the inner court, to the outer court. In the outer court, the priests, the Levitical priests, would take the animals and they would cut them up and wash them, and then they would put them on, and they had certain instructions, and they would lay these animals, this sacrifice, on the brazen altar. And it represented an atonement for your sins. It was saying, God, I am sorry for my sins. It puts you, atonement means to be at one with Christ, to be at one meant with God, to be at one meant with God. It's a word that's translated to be at one in the spirit and the oneness of God. And so here I'm saying to us, even in this relationship, they brought this sacrifice. Jesus would come as he's the foreshadower of this sacrifice. But now the priest, he's the priest. Hallelujah. So you don't have to go to another priest to get your prayer through. You can go to your pastors and to priests and ministers and apostles and bishops and under shepherds and whatever Christian titles your church may use, if it's a house of God, Christian church. And I'm saying to you that you have a direct line with God. The gift of salvation, hallelujah, that he's given to you, that he saved you, he justified you, he set you apart. Because Jesus, when he died, represented being on the sacrifice laid. Hallelujah. He was the perfect lamb. They could bring all these other offerings to in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we have Jesus who paid it all. Hallelujah. To perfect the word of God. It was predestined that it was going to be that way. And so when we know that we have this relationship, and it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. Because in order to understand how you're chosen and what that really means, and we won't get into all that tonight, this is going to be a series of teachings to show you the relationship that's established from the outer court to the inner court, and to understanding what it means to give yourself as a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. I offer myself as a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. And so I want us to understand that living sacrifice that you're giving, that's talked about, I think it's in Romans, that we talk about giving yourself, that's Jesus giving himself on that cross. But what about us? What does it mean for you and I to give ourselves as a living sacrifice? What does that mean that I give myself as a living sacrifice unto God, to give up my ways? And so I want us to begin to think about it in the sense that at that brazen altar, it's in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, men and women of God, by the mercies of God, the kindness of God, the thoughtfulness of God, hallelujah, in his majesty and his glory, he knows exactly where you are. I beseech you, I beg of you, my brothers and sisters, I ask you tonight to give yourself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, because He is God and God alone. And so he wants us to have this intimacy with him. He wants us to have this fullness of who he is and the deity of who he is in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls, that we come to him with knowledge of understanding that I'm giving myself to a God who is full of grace and full of mercy. He's so gracious that he blesses me with things I don't deserve. He forgives me for my sins, and he gives me the kindness of his generosity by the mercies. In other words, he forgives me. His grace is sufficient. By his grace, he saved me. And by his mercy to forgive me and love me the way he does, his mercy makes him say, I love you so much, I'm going to bless you anyhow, in spite of what you've done, because I see the sincerity of your heart. I'm going to release these things unto you. That's why I know everything, the test that you're going through right now, is God is transforming you. God is saying, if you bring yourself and leave yourself, at not physically burning yourself, because living your sacrifice is wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Meaning, let me break this down. Hallelujah. What I'm asking you to think about is that this, as you come into this relationship where you are, it doesn't matter if you're the priest, the pastor, the associate pastor, this is fundamental teaching that all of us need to understand about this natural flesh that we have, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that will keep you from hearing the will of God. And so when you come into the presence of God, you're trying to enter into his presence through your prayer life and through your praise and worship. Praise and worship leaders, hear this. You come to church and you haven't picked up a Bible and you haven't asked God to forgive you, and at the altar of sacrifice lay where I'm giving and presenting my body, my mind, my heart, and my soul to say, Lord, here's my sacrifice, that my ego and my flesh get out of the way. Hallelujah. If you're backslidden, this is where you come and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. You can't get to the sacred altar of prayer in the holy court, talking about you want to, and now ask for forgiveness, and you haven't ate of the bread of light, which is the Bible. You don't read the word. You don't want to be in the light, which is the light of God that shineth through you. It's the rivers of living water that continues to give you light, because you represent the menorah, the lamp, and the angels of God as the pastors of the house. But the light of God shineth through you. So if your light is dim, that means you're not spending enough time with God. You're not spending enough time in Bible study or meditation. You can have a prayer life and never stop to say thank you. Always asking, always want to intercede for somebody else and never say thank you. Never say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, here I am, God. Forgive me. Whatever's not right in me, whatever it is, I know there's some stuff ain't right. And you know there's some stuff that's not right. Lord, take it out. Take it out and straighten me out and use me and make me over. Be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so I just want to share that with you. So as you give thought to the power of God and how he begins in the outer court, this is where you come into this new relationship in 12:1 that I'm talking about. It's a new relationship where I'm coming into the presence of God and seeking the more of Jesus, because I want a closer walk with the Lord. And I know that with all the anger and frustration and all the stuff that's going on the television, you can turn your TV on and see so much vile stuff. It's incredible that your mind get caught up in things that are unholy, that you can't hear God, because he says no unclean thing. Moses, take your shoes off before me. Anton, take that sin off of you by asking me to forgive you, by coming to me with a surrendering heart, sincerity of your heart, that you're letting go of things in the outer court, that I can release to you the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding that you need to live in this world, so that I can show you how much I love you. You haven't even tapped into the mercies. Hallelujah. So I beseech you, as Paul was reminding us, to appeal to God, that our will be taken away, and God calls us to make a choice about the way that we live. So I'm saying that we come to God with at the altar of sacrifice. You can't give God your tithes and offering, and you're not willing to surrender yourself. That's where you have problems giving your tithe. because it was part of the divine plan, was that they would create the altar. Was one of the first, the outer court was made with a fence around it, with white sheets all around it, which was made with brass, which represents judgment. I said I wasn't going to get into that, but it represents the judgment. And so here's where you come, because God is judging our sins. He already knows all about us. He knows every thought you have, even before you can begin to think it. So what I'm asking us to do is to give consideration and praise and honor to God, to give yourself as a living sacrifice, so that you can understand what it means to have the keys to the kingdom and the power of God that's given unto you to bless you, to be able to understand that I'm a chosen child of God. I'm a peculiar treasure unto God, and that I'm created to be the king who has authority, who's been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which means I have keys to the kingdom to bind and to loose. But you have to learn what that really means, and we'll talk about that next week. You have to understand what it means to have a spirit of discernment. You have to understand what it means to have the spirit of love, and to understand the means that you have the wisdom, knowledge, and the understanding that God gives unto you to be able to allow you to do his work in this crazy, cruel world. And I will give unto the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes you read it over in Isaiah, I think it is, where it tells us, Isaiah 22, it reminds us, and the key of the house of David. What he's talking about is these keys are in the loins of David, meaning the genealogy of David, meaning that Jesus is out of the loin of David, and I will lay upon his shoulder, and so shall he open, and none shall. So God has given the keys to the kingdom to God, to Jesus, but he's also, through David, giving it to Jesus. And if you chose Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you make a choice to make that decision that I want the more of Jesus in my life, then he begins to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you, something you get that you don't even deserve. You got a promotion and you didn't even work hard for it. You got a new house that everybody else paid $500,000 for it, and you paid $250,000, $280,000. And God keeps on blessing you. I'm telling you from experience that I have seen the hand of God, the miracle working power of God, through prayer and fasting and meditation and praise and worship. But it begins understanding my relationship of saying, God, take me out of myself. Cleanse my mind and my heart. Lord, the pain that you suffer through in your body, Lord, take over right now. If I got to bear pain, you got to bear it. Lord, show them, show the people that are going on how to bear what it is that they have to live with in the name of Jesus. So when they get to that altar, the lavier, the place of washing, hallelujah, we'll talk about the glass sea next week, where you come to this place of being washed by the Spirit of the living God. And we only got one more minute. We'll be closing out. But I want to encourage you all to continue to seek after the will of God, the power of God. Get in that place beyond the outer court, where next week we're going to talk about getting at the lavier, to be washed in the presence of God, to be washed by the Holy Spirit that cleanses us, cleanses your mind in your prayers and meditation. For those of you who don't know, and those who do know, that when you have a prayer life with God, when you have meditation and that Bible study, and you really get into it, it will give you a place of peace that passeth all understanding. And that's when you know you've got an understanding, a new relationship. You've been transformed, because you won't always be so angry. He'll take things out of you completely and take you out of your miry clay, because you are a child of God. You are chosen to be the king, and I've given you power. I've given you to be a priest, that you have direct access as a man or woman of God to pray over your family, to call on the name of Jesus, pray for yourself, ask God, and give prayer and supplication for others in Jesus' name. Be about the Father's business. This is Anton Seals, Elder Anton Seals, AJS Ministry on 3110@gmail.com. AJS Ministry 310@gmail.com. God bless you, and may the peace of God continue to be with you always. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. God, we thank you right now for the lesson.